Do you feel like you belong? I think amongst us, there generally speaking is a bit of a longing to belong to something or to someone. And maybe it's exacerbated a little bit at this time of the year. You know, your extended family gets together, your own flesh and blood, sit down to Christmas dinner, and while you're sitting at the table and you listen to the way this mob speak and talk to each other, it feels like another language. Or you may as well not be there because you're ignored. Or occasionally you are asked a question about, well, your work or your kids or whatever, and you begin to reply and Uncle Larry's just, he's in there over the top of you before you have a chance. And you think, I really don't belong. I wonder what it's like to be part of a family or some group or whatever where actually I do fit in and I belong. Well, this week's instalment of this series that we're kind of hacking to pieces because I'm just not keeping up with it, God's Calling Community, it speaks to that sense that perhaps we don't feel like we belong anywhere. Over the last term, just to kind of recap, we've seen that God, who is in himself a being in community, he calls community into existence. We've seen the people that he made, Adam and Eve, they reject him. The community that he desires for them, they choose self over that. And then we've seen his son, the Lord Jesus, the second Adam, come and restore the community that's been lost. And we've been thinking then about how that community that Jesus calls together actually goes to work, how it calls us out of a bunch of stuff. It calls us out of a whole lot of self. It calls us out of chaos in our relationships to peace. It calls us out of impurity to a life of getting our bodies under control. And this week we're thinking about the call to really belong. So first up, like, what are we called out of? Well, not belonging and false belonging. I reckon one of the elephants in the room with church especially is a lack of belonging. One of my favourite writers is a guy called Paul Tripp. He's a pastor, a theologian over in the States. He writes this: I'm afraid that in the body of Christ we settle for terminally casual relationships all the time. I like that, terminally casual. Actually, I don't like that, but that's what I'm saying. But it's a great way of describing what goes on. He says, we've acquired some superficial data on people we call friends, but we don't actually know them. We participate in weekly or monthly church fellowship, but there's actually little fellowship going on. He's saying, you know, we kind of notionally get together and have fellowship of sorts. We attend, we have acquaintances, but it goes no deeper. And so then the two passages that Nathan just read to us, they're two introductions to two letters to two churches. They speak about belonging, but somewhat tangentially, if I can put it that way. You get a sense with the church in Rome and the church in Corinth, there's actually issues when it comes to belonging. To the church in Rome, I mean, it may well be at the heart of the Roman Empire, the seat of power, but does it belong to the wider church? Like, are these Gentiles in Rome actually part of what God is doing in a big way in the world? Are they part of the kind of the gospel that Paul is taking to the ends of the earth? To the church in Corinth, I mean, if you just have a look at it there, 1 Corinthians 1, and sneak ahead to verse 11, Paul's got some intel that there's divisions and factions in the church. Some say, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, I belong to Christ, but to the exclusion of a whole bunch of others, and each group thinks that the other group doesn't belong. And how do you deal with that? How do you call people out of that sense of not belonging or false ideas about it? Well, Paul makes it, I think, clear that you're called to belong by talking about three things, and they're in the outline there. He talks about who we belong to, how we belong, and what belonging does to us. So look who we're called to belong to up first. In Romans chapter 1, if you flick back to page 1126, you see it as Paul introduces himself and he introduces the gospel he preaches, the gospel that's promised beforehand in the scriptures, the gospel of which the content is Jesus. Yeah, notice in verse 3, humanly speaking, he is a descendant of King David. He is Israel's Messiah. But more than that, notice there by the Holy Spirit in verse 4, he's appointed Son of God. And you might remember that from the second week in this series. I know it's a long time ago now, but as Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on him and God speaks saying, "You are my son." And then his resurrection from the dead. That powerfully confirms all of this. The resurrection means that Jesus is the human descendant of David. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. And that means some things. I mean, for one, a guy like Paul is given the task in verse 5 of calling people, calling those Gentiles, those non-Jews, to the obedience that comes from faith. He's calling them to a life that is shaped by trust in Israel's Messiah, Israel's King. And that's where it gets interesting for, say, the Christians in Rome, the church there, thinking, do I fit in? Do I actually belong to what God's doing in the world? Well, look at verse 6 of Romans 1. Yeah, you do. Paul says, you're also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And who do they belong to? They belong to this one with all authority, the one who rules everything. Everything belongs to him. They belong to him. You belong to him as well. That's what Jesus' lordship implies. You're not your own. You belong to Christ. Now, I reckon at first blush, that kind of idea feels a little bit abrupt. It kind of bristles. It's saying, you don't belong to you, you belong to Jesus. And I want to put it to you, though, that that's actually really good news. Because while this might feel like a bit of an aside, I think it sorts out some issues and problems with our sense of belonging, because it gets at our sense of identity. We often try to define ourselves, and it's the way people do this, don't they? You meet someone new, the first question they usually throw at you is, what do you do? What's your job? We try to define ourselves in terms of what we do or other groups of people that we belong to. So I'm a mum, I'm a husband, I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a Keeley, I'm a Williams, I'm a Brown or whatever. My sense of identity and belonging is tied up with my job, how I spend my time, my family. And just think of this, what happens when you lose your job? You're no longer part of the teachers' union. You're no longer a pastor. And what if you're not really good at your job? Boy, oh boy, that's going to jeopardise your sense of belonging. I'm an interloper. And the things that we tend to think we belong to, they change. I mean, your family, which you think you belong to, I hate to break it to you, will change. And you might lose it, and they might even disown you, and you lose that sense of belonging. So being called to belong to Jesus, folks, it's actually quite freeing. He's certain, he never changes, he's not going away, his lordship is irrevocable, belonging to him is solid, you belong to him, you never lose that sense of fitting in somewhere, and you really understand who you are. That's the goodness of this call. As the antidote, I reckon, to worldly ideas about belonging based on what you do, or how well you do it, or your genetics, stuff that changes and stuff that can alienate you. You always belong when you belong to Christ. But more than that, Paul talks about how we belong. Jesus gives us what we need to do belonging, if you like. So come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 now. It's on page 1142. We belong in verse 2 there when you call on the name of Jesus, but we receive grace to do that. We receive grace to belong. Notice in verse 2, it's something that we've talked about already in this series. We're sanctified in Christ or set apart for him, but we're also called to be holy. to live more in line with God's purposes for us and less like the world around us. And God gives you what it takes to do that, to belong and to be holy. And we'll see in a moment that means that you change. You belong less to the world and more to God. But look at verse 4. Look at what Paul says. He says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all kinds of knowledge. Down to verse 7, you don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You know, remember again with 1 Corinthians, he's writing to a church riven with factions. Some people in the church have a certain type of spiritual gift and they look down on others who don't have that gift, or you lot don't belong. Or those people who don't have that particular kind of gift think, oh, I don't belong. But not so. You've all been enriched in every way. They've been enabled, he says there, doesn't he, to speak. And they've been given knowledge. And when you see knowledge in 1 Corinthians, just tend to think gospel know-how. The wisdom that comes from knowing Christ. It's simple stuff. The ability to live for him. That's the means of belonging together. And more than that, notice God's utter commitment to them persevering in belonging. Verse 8, God will keep you firm to the end. Verse 9, he's faithful. He's called you into fellowship with his son. He's called you to belong. He'll keep you there. This is good news, again, when it comes to belonging. Because so often, I reckon, belonging elsewhere, whether it's your family, your workplace, your circle of friends, the local footy team, it's about measuring up. And that's up to you. But God, by his grace, gives us what he desires when it comes to being part of his people. It's good news because we might be like the Corinthians. You know, we might say things like, everyone belongs here, but some belong more than others. There's those with a certain set of gifts and capabilities, those that do the really useful stuff, the upfront stuff, the teaching, preaching, the music, the person with the can-do attitude that gets stuff done on a committee of management, they belong, they earn their place. But this is saying not so. This is saying actually all have been given speech and knowledge that builds belonging. Now, I experienced, I think, a great example of this a couple of weeks back. I won't name names or tell specifics. I'll work it out. There's an older lady here who, as far as I know, she's never really been one for being up front. But she kind of just took me aside and spoke, like you think of 1 Corinthians here, some knowledgeable, wise gospel stuff to me. And probably unintendedly, she chastised me, which is good. And it also encouraged me because she actually reminded me of some things about the gospel and about God's people and about me, which is true, which I tend to forget. The point of that, though, is here's someone who's thinking, oh, I don't do stuff that other people do, upfront stuff. Maybe I don't play an important part here, but actually, no, God working through them, it's just that sign again that they really belong. And think about what that does. I mean, when she did that, we're getting past the stuff of the terminally casual in our relationships. It deepened a relationship in the body, and maybe unknowingly, God is at work in her, and she kind of pressed on a sanctification gospel issue in me, and God used her to move me to repent and to think carefully about how I think about myself and others. That's the kind of stuff that God does for us so that we belong. And that brings me to the final thing. Look, belonging is, it's transformative. Our change happens when we understand that we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to Jesus. Change happens when we understand that God gives us the grace to change, the gifts that help others belong and to become more holy. Something we need to get square in our heads, I think, is that we belong to the church. We belong to Christ and his church to change others and to be changed. And maybe this goes without saying, but let me say it anyway. Belonging isn't all sunshine, lollipops, rainbows and the unicorns that make them. Transformation carries an element of pain. Belonging actually can be painful. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Look at verse 10, just the last verse there. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Often wondered about a verse. I've got this on good authority from a mate who, in Prezi land, did his what's called his exit thesis. You just write a lot about something, and he wrote a lot about that verse. And he tells me that the Greek there for perfectly united is a medical term, and it's kind of got this idea. Maybe those of you with slightly older kids can relate to this. You know, your son or your daughter falls out of the tree, they break their arm. You take them to A&E, there's x-rays, there's painkillers, they set the arm, they whack the plaster on, see your GP in a couple of months and he'll take that plaster off for you, they say. So you see your GP in a couple of months' time, he takes the plaster off, off it comes, and his face is ashen because they haven't set it properly at A&E. No offence to people who work in A&E, they're usually under pressure. They haven't set the bones properly. So what does the doctor do? Yeah, breaks it again. Breaks it again and resets it again. And that's the thing, the verb there that's sitting behind perfectly united has the idea of resetting a broken bone to bring proper healing. And the way that it's written in the original language, it indicates that perfect uniting is something that God does more than you do. He breaks and he heals. And belonging together is God's means of doing that. Now, I reckon that means we need to kind of recalibrate the way we think about belonging. Belonging to a church. Because often when we think about it, we smuggle in ideas of belonging to something like a cosy little country club where nothing should ever change, especially us. All the perks, no pain, always affirmed, always treated politely, easy peasy. Not the kind of place where unhealthy gets broken and we get fit back together again properly. I want to put it to you this way. Like, if you're finding being part of church tough because, I don't know, people are sinful or because you're sinful, then maybe church is actually doing its job on you. Remember, you belong to a real flesh and blood local church filled with all kinds of misfits and messy people. Sinful people who are also simultaneously justified and called holy. You belong to that. And you don't belong to some idealised church where no one ever gets up your nose, and that's for a reason. It's the people who in God's hands actually break and heal. And it kind of, it's like the GP and the doctor's, what's the word? Sweet. Looking at your son or daughter's arm going, "I'm sorry, this is going to hurt." It works this way. I mean, the forgiveness that the gospel of Jesus pushes us towards, you learn that only when you're wronged. Belong to your average local church long enough and you'll learn how to be wronged. Belonging will break our tendency towards unforgiveness and reset you into someone healthier. You don't learn patience by belonging to a group of people who do things the way you think they should be done all the time. You learn it by belonging to a group of people who frustrate you, or by trying to disciple people who take two steps forward in godliness and eight steps backwards next week. Belonging is going to break the impatience and God resets something healthier, and on it goes. And there's other ways this works. I mean, when you belong to a local church, it'll teach you and stretch you towards the kind of things that God wants for you as a person. The people here will push you towards hospitality, having a hospitable attitude towards others, because belonging opens the door to spending time with people you don't normally seek out. It pushes you towards people who will call on you for help, and they will push you to do things that you probably didn't think you could do, like pray for them or listen to them. They'll break your lack of compassion and empathy and build that in you. And we'll think about this more in our next instalment. Sometimes I'll speak the truth and they will actually, in God's hands, call you out on behaviour and attitudes that do not fit the truth of the gospel. That's going to push you to repentance, and that hurts, but it heals. To close, I guess I want to ask you again the question that I've levelled at you each week in this series, the call that God issues to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 verse 9, you know, where are you? After they've ditched community and they've ditched belonging, where are you at with this? Do you feel like you don't belong anywhere? Like I started with, the family you've been born into, you might feel like a misfit amongst them or in your workplace, you know, the terminally casual relationships. Again, the good news is you're called to belong, and the belonging that we're meant for is met for us in belonging to Christ. And like I've been saying, he gives us the means to belong together. So remember that. And like we've just been reflecting on, look, belonging's hard. I reckon we like the idea of it. But when you're confronted with the reality of belonging to a messy bunch of people, well, maybe you think I'll settle for something easier like the local country club, the PNC or the Craft Beer Appreciation Society, because they're not going to break you, but they're not going to heal you either. And at that point, all I can do is urge you to remember Jesus, to remember what God has done so that you can belong to him and to one another. Remember again, the God who's ultimately relational, the calling community. Three persons who've always belonged together allowed himself to be alienated for us. And folks, in a mystery that defies quick explanation at the end of a rambly sermon, at the cross, God who's happily belonged to himself forever allowed himself to be alienated. Makes me think of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. He prays that we belong. He prays, Father, all of them, I pray that they be one. May they be in you as I, just as you're in me and I'm in you, may they be one. And he goes not to belong for the first time ever so that his prayer is answered. How about I pray? Father, we thank you that we belong, that by grace and kindness that you've worked through your Son, through him being broken, we belong to him and we belong to one another. Father, we thank you that you give us what you want for us. You want holiness and change. You want us to reflect your image. So we thank you that you give us the grace to belong together, to be the means in your hands of breaking our sinful attitudes and our hard hearts. And Lord, as much as it hurts, we thank you that it heals. And so, Father, we pray that you continue your work in us. As we belong, we pray that more and more in your hands, we grow each other in holiness and Christ-likeness. That more and more we reflect the likeness of the one who was broken for the good of those who belong to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.